Hey guys, welcome to the Good Warfare Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Alfaro, and this is the place where we will uncover life lessons from the Bible and insights for everyday life, sharing reflections from our monthly book club picks and exploring how to live out our faith in the workplace. Hey guys, welcome back. In this episode, we're going to be continuing chapter 19, where we are studying Lot, his family, and what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to be picking up more life lessons and also some biblical principles. We started in the last episode looking at Genesis chapter 11, 13 onward, and then we did 19, and now we are wrapping up chapter 19. In the previous episode, we left off where the angels share with Lot what will happen to Sodom, chapter 19, verses 12 through 13, and then Lot goes to speak to his sons-in-law, who chose not to listen. So we move on down to verse 16, and we'll get started here. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 19, verse 16. So the next day came, and we read in verse 16 that while he lingered, so while Lot lingered, the men, aka angels, and if you need more discussion on that, you can go to the previous episode. The men or angels took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Did you catch that Lot was lingering and the men had to grab him and his family to take him out of Sodom? And not only that, but they told him to escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. That's Genesis 19, verse 17. However, Lot started to negotiate with their instructions. He said to the angels, "But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." So verses 19 and 20. So there are several life lessons here in just that interaction between Lot and the angels. For starters, do not delay when God tells you to go. So God showed him mercy, but him lingering shows that he was taking it for granted or wavering between leaving and staying. In other words, when we don't immediately obey, we may be taking God's mercies for granted. So that's something that we have to consider every single time we choose to delay or linger on something we know that we have to be obedient to God. The next lesson here is do not negotiate with God's instructions. He knows best and his ways are perfect. And if we look at Psalm 18, verses 30 through 33, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places." So remember that. He is our Lord, and his way is perfect, not ours. So next time we try to negotiate with God's instructions, remember that he knows best. The next lesson here is that we should trust God's directions. Again, going back to Psalm 18, 30 through 33, his way is perfect. And not only should we trust God's directions, but we should also trust the plan he has for our lives. Let's look at what it says in Isaiah 58, verse 11. "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." So what is this verse trying to tell us? That God is going to guide us, that he will strengthen us, that he will satisfy our souls. We should trust in him because his ways are perfect. And the last lesson here from the interaction between Lot and the angels is that we cannot be his disciple if we don't first take all that we have, including family, who do not wish to follow God's path. and we can look at Luke 14, verses 26 and 33. And it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." And author Ellen White says the following, "But to abide in Christ means to forsake all and follow in his footsteps. Those who abide in Christ constantly reveal the fact that they have a helpful experience as the result of spiritual union with Christ." And with that, we'll move on to the next section, which is what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. So now we come to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Once Lot and his family were out of there, the Bible says the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of those cities, and what grew on the ground. Genesis 19, verses 24 and 25. So one important takeaway here, or life lesson from the Bible, from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, is that there's a limit to God's mercy. So there comes a point in which he will no longer allow Satan, sin, and sinners to have a hold on this world, and he will completely eradicate it once and for all. So what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah will happen in the end times. Let's look at what Luke says in chapter 17, verses 28 through 30. "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." The question for us here is, are we living like people who are prepared for his coming, or are we living like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? So we should take that question back and have a sit down with our family and see what we need to do so that we can be people who are after God's heart, who are prepared for his coming, and who day by day do things that honor and glorify God. It might not be easy to start, but if you make the boundary in that day, you will be successful. But you have to be strong and commit to a specific time to have Bible study, especially involving your family, so that it's not just you, but also your family can benefit from having quality time with God. In my home, it's just my husband and I, but we set 9 p.m. as our time to turn off the TV, turn off whatever we're doing, and it's time to read God's Word. So I encourage you to find that time to spend in God's Word. Okay. Well, now we can move on to what happened to Lot's wife. Why did Lot's wife look back? So after the city's destruction, Lot's wife looked back and became a statue of salt. That can be found in verse 26. So the Bible doesn't say why she looked back, but we can only surmise a few reasons as to why she looked back. The first one being, physically, she was walking away from Sodom, but her heart was still there. She was leaving children behind and possibly grandchildren, since her daughters and their husbands chose to stay. Maybe she looked back to see the destruction happening. However, pay attention here. In Psalm 101, verse 3, it says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." So here, this lesson from the Bible can be that it's so important to be mindful of what we see, because we can lose our salvation through what we are seeing on a daily basis. The next thing is that she might have been sad to lose her comfort and valuables. So if this was the case, we may wonder how she took God's saving grace. Did she value it, or did she take it for granted? So looking at the topic of God's saving grace and seeing if she valued it or did she take it for granted. So one important lesson here is that we should not reject God's saving grace, though our circumstances seem dark and though our loved ones reject him. In the case of Lot and his family, God sent his angels to warn and save them. The angels even led them by the hand when they began to delay to rescue them from the destruction that was about to happen. And as is the case with all of us today, God extends his grace and mercy to all. His son did a great sacrifice for us to have salvation. His word says what will happen before he comes and how he will come. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but have eternal life. Please read John 3, verses 15 through 17. So should we reject him? Friends, I hope your answer is a solid no. Jesus said in Luke 17, verses 32 through 33, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And let's look at chapter 16 in Matthew, verses 25 and 26. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? How important is it that we choose to forsake all for Christ? And as we move on from this lesson, we go on to the next one, which is about focusing on the past and what the Bible says about looking back. From the story of Lot's wife, we see the importance of not focusing on the past. When we turn to Christ, the Bible says that we are a new creation and that the old has passed. Focusing on the past gives Satan power over our lives because it is a reminder of our sinful ways, the things that kept us chained and troubled, those things that didn't please God. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We don't know what was going through her mind, but what we do know is that if she had obeyed the instructions of God through the angels, which was to not look back, we know that she wouldn't have turned into a pillar of salt and we would not be having this lesson right now. So the takeaway there was to not focus on the past, to not look back, focus on what's ahead and what God has for us, which is greater than anything we could imagine. Now we move on to Genesis 19, verses 30 through 38. And here we are going to be reading about Lot and his daughters. So as we end this study on Lot, we see how the sins of Sodom were ingrained in his daughters, the ones that actually left with him. So they both got Lot drunk and had intercourse with him, resulting in their pregnancies. See verses 31 through 35. The lessons here are simple but powerful. In finding the right home for our family, we should be wise to pick the place that God has led us to. It should be free of temptation as best as possible, and it should bring us closer to God, to his church, and to love others. And when putting the things that matter on the balances of life, we should prioritize a heavenly and humble home versus worldly comforts, success, and wealth. Now, this is totally the opposite of what this world screams. So it's hard to balance this, but we need to learn and to focus on God's word and have that be our driver in life. So going back to Lot and his daughters, and what we find out next is about Lot's descendants. So who are the descendants of Lot? Come to find out, they are the Moabites and the Ammonites. These were two nations that were against God. They were living in sin, in complete disobedience and defiance, and were eventually defeated. So an interesting fact here is that King Solomon was married to an Ammonite. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21. And with that, we come to an end on this study in Genesis. We see that unfortunately, Lot's lineage doesn't end well. But imagine how different his life would have been if he would have chosen what God had wanted for him from the very beginning. If he would have asked God, where should he place his tent, versus him looking over and picking Sodom. I hope you enjoyed this Bible study. It was jam-packed with encouraging life lessons from the Bible. I know there are probably many more lessons or biblical principles than the ones I mentioned, but this is a good starting point, especially for anyone new to Bible study. And if you're new to Bible study, please keep praying, please keep reading, keep studying. Also, stay alert for the Holy Spirit's leading. If you find any other life lessons, please share them in the comments. Until next time, friends, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Good Warfare Podcast. I trust that it has ignited a spark in your faith journey, leading you one step closer to God's purpose for your life. If you found value in today's discussion, please consider sharing it with a friend and leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps spread the message of God's hope and truth to others. And remember, if you have any prayer requests or simply want to connect, feel free to reach out via email. Until next time, may God's blessings abound in your life. Take care and God bless you abundantly.